In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The people of earth didn't know how God wanted them to live. So God sent messages and messengers to them. But the people ignored and they rebelled against the messages and the messengers. So God sent a Savior to the earth, a Savior who would bring forgiveness to a sinful world, a Savior who would bring hope to a world in despair, a Savior who would bring light into the dark, depressed world. God sent a star, a bright, shining star to point the way to the Savior, a star to guide the people of earth out of sin, out of despair, out of darkness, out of depression. The star that God placed in that night sky was an invitation to find the Savior, seek the Savior. And those who are wise will follow the star. The Epiphany star wasn't intended to be a one-time event 2,000 years ago. The Epiphany star is forever with us. God continues to lead us. God continues to guide us to the Savior. The Epiphany star shines through the ages, not always in a physical way, not a physical star in the sky, but always a spiritual light that touches our hearts and our souls. And so we retell this story and we celebrate Epiphany, Epiphany Sunday today. We celebrate it because God wants to guide us with God's own light out of sin, out of despair, out of darkness and depression. And we all have some of that in our lives at various times. And God always sends light to us to guide us and lead us to the light that God gives us. As the wise men of old were invited, we are invited today to search diligently for the Savior. We're invited today, as they did, to give glory and praise, to give homage to the King. And when we do, just like those wise men of old, when we encounter Jesus, our souls are overwhelmed with joy as they were. When we're in the presence of the King, when we're in the presence of Christ, our hearts are filled with joy. Now, those wise men of old were wealthy and they were powerful. But look at this. They were looking for something else besides the wealth and the power that they had. They were wise. And they knew that wealth and power do not satisfy. Wealth and power are not what makes our hearts and souls filled with joy. So instead of wealth and power, they longed for their souls to be filled with God's light. They longed for spiritual fulfillment. They longed for community, togetherness. They longed for inner peace. They wanted true and lasting hope. That's why they sought the Savior, the King. And in our day, we have the same longings. We desire spiritual fulfillment. We desire community, being together in God's light. We long for inner peace. We need true and lasting hope. And the Epiphany Star shows us how. The Epiphany Star guides us to have Christ at the center of our lives. That's the message of the candles, the Advent candles. The four candles that we lit before Christmas, during Advent, stand for hope, peace, joy, and love. Say these with me again. Hope, peace, joy, and love. And now lit is the candle in the center, the Christ candle. That candle in the center is lit as a reminder for us to center our lives on Christ. We really can't have hope, peace, joy, and love without Christ at our center. One of the best stories for Christmas and Epiphany, in my opinion, is a story by Henry Van Dyke. He was a Presbyterian pastor. The year was 1892. That's 132 years ago. It had been a difficult, dark year for the pastor. It was a year filled with sickness. It was a year of grief. He took his father's death very hard. It was a year for him of depression. And on Christmas Eve of that year, his sermon was a story that he came up with, which was later published in a small book titled The Other Wise Man. Traditionally, we say that there are three wise men. Pastor Van Dyke's story is about a fictional fourth wise man. The name of this fictional wise man was Artaban. He started out on a journey to follow the star that would lead to the newborn King of Kings. And his gift for the king was a set of three valuable jewels, a sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl. Artaban planned to meet his three wise friends, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar by name. They were to meet at an oasis outside the great city of Babylon. But on the way, Artaban came across a man who'd been robbed. He'd been beaten and left by the side of the road to die. Artaban rescued that wounded man. And to save his life, he sold the sapphire so that this man could live. And in the meantime, he missed the rendezvous with his three friends. So now he was to travel alone. And he could still see the star, and so he followed that star. But when he arrived in Jerusalem, it was chaos, because King Herod had decreed that all male children under the age of 2 were to be killed so that he would be sure that the newborn king was killed. As Artaban came into the city, he saw a soldier just about to kill a baby. And Artaban bargained for the baby's life. He gave the soldier the ruby that he had to save the child's life. Well, by now the star was gone, but he still had that pearl to give to the King of Kings. Artaban lived among the people in Jerusalem for 33 more years. He was a wealthy man, and he did a lot to take care of other people. He took care of the poor. He took care of prisoners. He took care of lepers. He helped countless needy children. And one day he heard that the king was about to be crucified. And so he goes to the gate of the city of Jerusalem. And when he arrived there, some soldiers were dragging a young girl, dragging her to sell her into slavery. And the young girl looked up at Artaban. He was dressed in fine clothing because he was wealthy. And she begged him for help. And Artaban took the pearl that he had. And he used it as a ransom for the life of the girl, to keep her from a life of slavery. And just then, after he gave that pearl away, there was a huge earthquake. And a heavy roof tile hit Artaban on the head, injuring him almost to the point of death. And the girl looked at the man who had saved her, and he saw his lips moving as if he was talking to someone. And so she moved close up to hear what he had to say. And Artaban was saying, "My Lord, my King, when did I see you hungry and feed you? When did I see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did I see you in prison and visit you? I have searched for you for 33 years, but I have never seen your face. My King, I have never ministered to you." The dying man was hearing the reply, and he repeated it out loud so the young girl could hear. This was what Artaban was hearing. "Very truly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it for one of these, the least of my children, you did it to me." And Artaban breathed his last. His journey had ended, knowing that in the end, the treasures that were meant for the King of Kings, the sapphire, the ruby, and the pearl, were given to the king by serving others. The story ends with these words: "The other wise man had found the king." The story of Artaban is a sermon about the way disciples of Jesus are called to live our lives. We have gifts to give to the King. We have gifts to serve as we're called to serve. Now, I've heard more than once that people are not particularly happy that we're going to be removing our Christmas decorations today. Just seems a little too early. And next week when we come in here, everything is going to seem so bare. And I've heard some people remark about that. Well, there's a poem about this written by Howard Thurman, an author, religious leader, a civil rights leader. He was a mentor to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The poem suggests and gives us a way to deal with the removal of the Christmas decorations. The poem is titled, "The Work of Christmas." This is the poem. "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild nations, to bring peace among sisters and brothers, to make music in the heart. As the decorations come down today, Christmas isn't over. Thurman was right. The work of Christmas begins. As disciples, let's decorate our world wherever we go. Let's decorate our world with hope, peace, joy, and love. As disciples, let's center our lives in Christ. And let us bring Christ into the world. The work of Christmas begins again. Let us pray. Listen to the voice of the King speaking to you. Jesus is saying to you, "Receive my hope, peace, joy. Receive my love. Receive me. Receive these gifts and give them to others. Give generously. Give these gifts to my people, especially to the least of thee. Decorate your world with my hope, peace, joy, love."